Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? I hope you've all had a great week this week, and I'm currently sat here freezing as always. It's been horrible and cold and wet and windy here in the UK, and it's actually so windy and stormy outside that you might be able to hear it a little bit. I've just been playing around with my mic to try and stop the sound picking up some of the rain, but if you do hear bits of wind and rain in the background, I do apologise. It is just very, very terrible weather here in the UK at the moment. So I hope wherever you're listening from is a little bit warmer and nicer than it is here. We are now in week two of my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, and the groups have been learning all about how to process their emotions this week and how resisting or reacting to our emotions can create so much unnecessary suffering and drama in our relationships. And a few of the members of the past group actually told me that this was one of the most life-changing skills that they learned from the program, that skill of being able to sit and allow their emotions and allow the sensations of their negative emotion to rise, peak, and dissipate. They said that that was one of the most amazing things they learned. So I'm so excited to see the new cohort start to understand this and implement it. It is just so, so exciting. And I've had a few messages from people saying that they missed this round, but that they do really want to sign up for the next one. So if that's you, don't panic. The next round will begin in May. So I'll drop a link to the waitlist in the information section of the episode. So go check that out and make sure you get your name down there so you don't miss any of the details when they're announced. Okay, let's dive into today's topic, which is how our brains can be a little bit dramatic. And as we've already discussed through many of these episodes, our brains can be drama queens. Our brains are always taking in the information from around us through our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we smell, what we taste. We're taking in that information, and then our brains are interpreting it and creating a narrative around it. Our brains are storytellers. As a species, as the human species, we have always been storytellers. And so our brains love nothing more than a compelling narrative and making meaning out of interactions and events that take place. So we end up with a lot of all or nothing thinking, black and white thinking, seeing things as either huge successes or huge failures. We see people as villains or heroes. We see situations as good and fine or complete disasters. We overgeneralize and use phrases like always and never. And when we're not onto our brains about this, our brains can really create so much trouble for us. And so in this episode, I wanted to talk all about the skill of separating the neutral facts of a situation from the story your brain has about it. And I'll give you an example from one of my past one-on-one clients. She was struggling with her relationship with her manager, and we were coaching on it during one of our sessions, and together we pulled out and looked at the thoughts in her brain about that situation. And of course, because she has a very normal human brain, her brain had some pretty dramatic sounding thoughts about the situation. And a good signpost for when our brains might be on the drama bus is when it starts using novel-like metaphors, like she sucks the energy out of the room, she makes my life hell, I never get a moment of peace. It's a complete disaster. She's just out to get me. And those were some of my client's thoughts about the situation. So no wonder she was in so much pain. Now, this isn't me trying to downplay or invalidate what she was going through. Not at all. If you've ever coached with me, you know that compassion and understanding really is the foundation of every single session. Her experience was completely valid, meaning she really was having some painful thoughts, and these thoughts were creating really uncomfortable emotions that needed to be heard and processed. But that didn't make her thoughts useful. And how did we know that her current way of thinking about it wasn't useful? Because she was not getting the results that she wanted. She found herself dreading work, not wanting to participate during meetings, making more mistakes than she used to, feeling paralyzed and not taking any action. So her brain's current way of thinking about the situation was not serving her in any way. And that's because these particular thoughts that her brain had about it, the ones I just mentioned, They were escalating this feeling of being unsafe. They were turning up the amp on the danger signal in her brain. And that's what a lot of dramatic thoughts do. They turn up the level of danger. And as we know, our brains are always trying to keep us safe, which means they're very hypervigilant and obsessed with things that could be dangerous. And when we're telling ourselves repeatedly a situation is very severe and very dangerous, we tend to go into fight or flight mode, which makes finding a solution to the problem extremely difficult. We can't think rationally. We can't offer ourselves calm, useful perspectives or solutions. And even if other people offer us reasonable solutions, we tend to want to reject them and tell them that they're wrong, that wouldn't work, because we're already committed to believing that this is a disaster that can't be solved and there's no turning back. So what I want to encourage you all to practice doing is bringing yourself back to the neutral facts of a situation. When you're having a lot of thoughts about something, I want you to write down just the key, boring, neutral facts. And I say boring for a reason. Circumstances, as in the facts of a situation, should sound boring because there should be no added drama or colour to it. No narrative, no metaphors, no interpretations, no heroes or villains. Just boring facts. She said this. I said that. It is raining. My boss asked for a meeting. Those are just boring facts. There's no colour, there's no drama, there's no interpretation. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just a neutral fact. And I once heard another coach, and I've completely forgotten her name now, but she described thoughts as being the colour that we splash onto a circumstance. So the facts of the circumstance, they're just grey, neutral, plain, boring facts. And our thoughts add that colour, that emotion. And so coming back to the session with this particular client and talking about her manager, the facts that we had, that we were able to pull out during the session, were that her manager had given her some feedback on a project and told her that she didn't think it was up to scratch and asked her to redo the project. And she would send her 2 to 3 emails a day with suggestions or requests about the project. Now, doesn't that story sound much more dull? It's not as exciting, is it, that story? So much more dull than the story of the villain and the victim. And the villain who sucks the energy from the room and is destroying lives and is making life hell. And again, I want to really emphasize that this isn't me mocking or trivializing what my client was going through, not at all. And I myself have been in similar situations where I felt completely like a victim to someone else's behavior. But that's why coming back to the neutral facts of the situation is so important. Our brains can create such dramatic and painful stories around the situations in our lives that don't always serve us. So when it comes to managing your mind, dull is good. Bring yourself back to the very boring facts of a situation and then just notice the dramatic flair your brain has added to it. And notice how thinking about it in the way you currently are is actually just one option. And it may not be an option that's really helping. One of my all-time favourite teachers, Carol Lowenthal, always compares our dramatic brains to like a Victorian woman dramatically falling onto a fainting couch. And I think this is a good way to imagine our brains sometimes, kind of dramatically falling onto a couch in horror at the situation. And so coming back to the situation of my client, once we got down to those neutral facts, she was able to feel a lot calmer about it. And she was then able to find other ways to think about those facts, the way that her boss was showing up, that didn't feel so scary and dangerous, and that actually enabled her to show up and do her job much better than the way she had been doing before and in the way that she wanted to. And so once you've written down the very neutral, boring facts of a situation, and then you've written down that main story you have about it or the main thought you have about it, you then want to assess if there's a striking gap between the two things. As in, does this thought seem a bit excessive or over the top in relation to the facts that are there? Is there some overgeneralizations happening? Is there some all or nothing thinking? Any jumping to conclusions or doom predictions going on here? And again, I want to be really clear. This isn't about gaslighting or invalidating yourself. And, you know, women are often told that we're too dramatic. And so we try and be fine and cool with things that we just don't want to be fine and cool with. And that is not what I'm saying at all here. So it's important that you don't misunderstand what I'm teaching and try and use this work against yourself. We don't want to change our thoughts to be chill and okay with everything. That is not what I'm saying at all. We just want to be onto our brains about where our thoughts may be spinning a web that's not aligned with the actual reality of the situation, so that we can take back control over how we think about any situation we're facing. And a good question to keep bringing yourself back to in any situation is, does thinking this way about it serve me? When I think this way about this situation, how am I likely to feel? And how am I then likely to show up? How will I act? What will I do or not do? And if the answer is no, thinking this way is not helping me, and it's in fact making things worse, that is reason enough to coach your brain around it. And I'll give you another example from one of my one-on-one clients. She was talking about her life just in general during one of our sessions, and she said, I feel like I've wasted my life and I've made bad decision after bad decision, and I just don't feel like I'll ever be happy. And I'm sure these are thoughts that some of you can relate to. And again, we had to start our session by having so much compassion and holding space for what she was feeling and what she was experiencing, because those thoughts were so painful for her. She needed to really feel that emotion. But when we looked at the facts of her life that she was referring to, the facts were that she'd moved away from her family. She'd worked her way up a career ladder and bought a property that she now thought she might want to move from. She'd been married for 6 years and then gotten a divorce. And since then, she'd chosen to prioritise work, so was currently single. Those were the neutral facts that were so much less painful, less colourful and less dramatic, but just as real, no, more real than the story she was telling herself about it. And as I said before, our brains are storytellers. Our brains love nothing more than a narrative. Your brain doesn't care if the story is a horror story or a tragedy or a love story, as long as it's a narrative that makes sense. And the narrative her brain was weaving her was one of tragedy and pain. And so it cherry-picked moments of her life to focus on and interpreted it in a way that made sense for that narrative of her life being a waste. It, of course, ignored and disqualified all the amazing things she was proud of, all of the happy moments, the things that she'd achieved, the way she'd made a positive impact on people's lives, because it didn't fit in with that tragedy, painful narrative. Even take the fact that she had been married and then gotten a divorce. That's a neutral circumstance, but the story her brain had chosen about it was that she'd made a bad decision and that she always makes bad decision, that the marriage and divorce was a huge mistake that brought her entire decision-making skills into question, and that it meant something detrimental about her and her personality. But here's another way to tell that story. She decided to marry someone because at the time she loved him and it felt like a good idea, and then 6 years later she changed her mind and decided to leave. Notice the difference between those two stories. This is so important, guys. Our brains will hoodwink us into believing that their mean, unhelpful stories are the facts, when really they're not the facts at all. Your brain is always directing its own little movie. It's spinning a narrative, and the way it's painting the story isn't an honest reflection of the reality, and it isn't always favourable. The fact that she'd chosen to get married and then chosen to leave was totally neutral. And her brain's choice to make it mean something about her decision-making capability and the way that she made every decision in her life was totally optional. And I think another reason we almost want to give into our brain's dramatic stories is because we think if we don't, then we're not taking ourselves seriously. If we're not very big and dramatic and hard on ourselves about the situations we're in, then maybe we won't change them. Because remember, our brains are always trying to keep us safe. So they'd rather overreact to a situation that could be dangerous and be wrong than underreact and then we die. That is how the primitive brain kept us alive throughout evolution, by being hypervigilant and treating everything as life or death. But of course, in your average everyday situation that isn't actually life or death, this kind of thinking actually prevents and stands in the way of us creating change. Like for this client, telling herself she'd wasted her life and only made bad decisions and would never be happy was not going to inspire her to change. It wasn't helping her to wake up in the morning, grab the bull by the horns and make the changes to her life that she wanted to make. It wasn't helping her usefully and constructively reflect on the decisions she had made in her life and notice maybe if there were unhelpful thought patterns that she wanted to challenge and change for next time. Nope. All that way of thinking did was keep her feeling stuck and downtrodden and like a victim to her life. It made her want to hide under the covers, avoid taking risks, avoid other people because she couldn't bear comparing herself to them. These thoughts were creating more of exactly what she didn't want, which was feeling out of control of her own life. So listen to the way your brain tells the story of your life and the situations you're facing. Really take a step back and observe it and consider, what are the boring neutral facts of this? And is the colour my brain is splashing onto this a little bit too extra? Is it actually hindering me rather than helping me? Another example I'll share is from another one of my clients who came to the session and was having a lot of negative thoughts about her partner to do with a particular situation that had just happened. So she'd moved in with him and he'd asked her if she would move some of her belongings into the spare room so that the bedroom didn't seem so cluttered. That was the fact. So the neutral, boring fact was, boyfriend says, please can you move some things into the spare room so the bedroom is less cluttered. And her brain had done what all brains love to do, which is jump to making this mean something incredibly painful that resulted in them having a huge argument. Her brain had interpreted that fact and made it mean he doesn't want me to be here. Now, when we were coaching on this, we wrote down the facts of what he had said exactly next to her brain's interpretation. And she very quickly saw that her thought didn't really hold up. She in fact said that there were so many ways he was making it clear that he wanted her there. He'd cooked a lovely dinner for them on her first night. He'd gone out and bought a bigger chest of drawers and thrown a lot of his things out to make space for her. He'd suggested that she put up some of her own pictures of her family so they weren't just all his pictures around the house. There was so much evidence that this thought wasn't true. But her brain had done the traditional fainting onto the couch stunt and jumped to the thought that he didn't want her to be there. And it had caused so much unnecessary suffering for her. And again, it made sense why her brain had jumped to that, because it was trying to keep her safe. It believed it was in danger of rejection, and so it sounded the alarm. But it's really important that we don't rush to respond to this anxiety and assume that because our brains are screaming danger, that actually means there's an emergency. Take a moment to breathe and allow the emotion, and taking a step back and reassessing the facts means you can then respond more rationally, intentionally, and in a much more useful way. And a member of the last round of my group coaching program said in one of our sessions, I've just been rejected by everyone my whole life. That was what she said. And when we looked at the facts were that she had had 3 romantic partners throughout her life, 1 she'd chosen to break up with, and 2 who had chosen to break up with her. Again, notice the difference in those 2 statements. I've been rejected by everyone my whole life versus I've had 3 romantic partners, 1 I broke up with, 2 which broke up with me. One is a very negative, painful story, and the other is just the neutral facts. And understanding the difference between the two is really at the heart of all thought work. And with this client, her brain didn't even consider the facts of all the people who had wanted to date her that she had turned down because she didn't want to date them, or the many friends and family members who had continuously wanted her in her life and not rejected her. Because again, that didn't fit the narrative, didn't fit the dramatic narrative that her brain was weaving. It was committed to, I've been rejected by everyone my whole entire life. Faint onto the couch. And so it ignored any evidence that suggested that wasn't actually true. So I really want to encourage you to write down the neutral facts of the situations you're in. And then notice the thoughts you have about them. Notice if there's a gap. Is it like your brain has leapfrogged or Olympic long jumped to a thought that feels like a bit of a reach compared to what's actually going on here? Ask yourself, what's the most boring neutral way I could describe this? This is always a good place to start so that you can decide how you do want to think about the situation, the colour that you intentionally want to splash onto the situation. For example, the fact could be your flight has been delayed by 2 hours. Your story could be the entire holiday is ruined. The fact could be that you and your partner had a disagreement last night. The story could be that now your entire relationship is in jeopardy. The facts could be that your friend has had to cancel on plans twice in a row. The story could be that your friend completely doesn't care about you anymore and that your friendship is in ruins. Again, just notice. what are the facts here? And what is the story my brain is coming up with about these facts? Consider, what might somebody else think about this? What emotion would I love to feel about the situation? And what thought would someone who felt that way be having about it? Play around and brainstorm ideas and alternative thoughts, because this shows your brain that the option it had come up with was just one option available to you. Okay guys, that is all I've got for you today. I hope it was useful. And like I said, the next round of my group coaching program is in May, so I'll put the link to the waitlist in the information section of this episode. And my one-on-one coaching spots are also currently full, and it may be a few months before any spots become free. But there is a waitlist for that too, so if you want to get on the waitlist for one-on-one, drop me an email and I will send you all the information. And if you are loving this podcast, please could you do a little something for me? Could you give it a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from? That would mean the absolute world to me, and it'll mean that I can keep reaching more and more people with this work. I hope you all have lovely weekends, and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.